Hello, everybody, and welcome. This is Kate Beeters with the Forever Cali Project, and I am here today with another expert for an interview, which I know you're going to find super helpful. And for those of you who aren't familiar with the Forever Cali Project, if you are just tuning in for your first interview, the point of the project was really to honor my almost 17-year-old Karen Cali, who I said goodbye to. And knowing that the last few years there was a lot of senior care involved, and although we had wonderful specialists, I could have used a lot more support. So I've been helping people talk about support and how to keep our dogs happy and healthy, and then also what happens, you know, when you know you're going to have to say goodbye, or once you have said goodbye. So people who are grieving the loss of their dog. And so you can always get more information if you go to forever-cali.com. You can always listen to other interviews. So again, that's forever-cali.com. And today I'm really excited. I've been waiting a long time for this guest, so I'm super excited to have her because she's a huge expert. Her name is Naomi Sachs, and she is with one of the top hospitals in San Francisco, and her title is palliative care chaplain. And so, of course, she was super involved with when COVID was at its height, you know, dealing with all that. And now, of course, we're talking about dogs, which, you know, she understands because she has had dogs, you know, growing up. But, you know, also, too, we love our dogs like we love our people. So, Naomi, welcome, and thank you so much for being here.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
So what I want to talk about is we're going to focus for this interview on the grief part. And I just want to ask you first, you know, what recommendations do you have if, let's say, somebody knows, you know, not that it's a year out, but, you know, they know within the next couple of weeks, couple of months that they're going to be saying goodbye. What suggestions do you have for them to support them? You know, obviously, hopefully they've got good vet care, but just to support their own well-being as they go through this. I would love to hear, you know, what you might suggest for that.
Yeah, absolutely. And so when we know that our dog friends are declining, there starts to be losses. They aren't always as functional as they used to be. They don't run like they used to. Sometimes we have to carry them and hold them. And so we start to feel that emotionally. And so practically, obviously, you were talking about vet care and also planning, just making sure they have the best specialists. But as far as emotionally and grief, the grief starts there. The grief starts as you notice the dog is not the same as they used to be. And really, what I recommend is, one, really start to focus on your toolbox. That's friends, that's other people, that's people who really understand your beloved dog and your connection with the dog. And understand that dogs are just as important as any beings in people's lives. So really, there's also support groups for people who are caring for elder dogs. And there are also your own support groups, people that you know understand this connection and also have their own dogs. The other is just to realize this is what we all go through. And so there's this point of taking better care of yourself, because you do have to take more intensive care of your dog at that point. And so really understanding that that's a full-time job sometimes, or at least it's a bigger job than it used to be. And so really making sure that you weigh that in when you are planning your life and taking care of yourself, and knowing that it's a challenging experience. Some people want to plan way ahead about what will happen afterwards, or they want to think about it, or they want to talk about it. Other people would rather stay in the moment and just be with their dog and enjoy the dog's life, no matter what that life looks like. So that's different for everybody. But what we know is that the feelings of loss, the feelings of anticipatory grief, the feelings that this being that you love so much is changing starts right away when we find out that they're either aging, they're in the end of their life, or they have other illnesses or other issues that are going on that are actually causing them to be having their life being shorter than we expected.
Yeah, and you know, I'm so I'm so glad you added the piece to Naomi about taking care of yourself, because just speaking for me personally, you know, Callie was almost 17 when I said goodbye to her. And the last few years, you know, she had several surgeries. She had a couple of TIAs. She had pancreatitis, you know, all sorts of things. She was on all sorts of medication. And probably the last 2 years, I was giving her, you know, upwards of sometimes, you know, 16 to 20 eye drops a day, you know, sets of eye drops. And so my schedule really had to revolve because, you know, I had to make sure these eye drops were on time. You know, they call it a glaucoma cocktail, but you have to do it at a certain amount of spacing in between. And so I really had to rearrange my life. And I didn't realize till towards the end, like, hey, you know, you're neglecting yourself. So I think that's a really valid point and a really powerful point that we forget about, is that we do have to take care of ourselves because our dogs need us even more. And if we're depleted, you know, back to my flight attendant days, you know, put the oxygen mask on yourself first. If we're depleted, it makes it hard for us to take good care of our dog and also to make the best decisions for our dog.
Absolutely, and sort of associated with what I've said and what you said, there's a concept in grief theory called complicated grief, and that is grieving that is not socially or culturally recognized. And I would say that people grieving for their dogs is something that's not always socially recognized, and that means you don't get the same kind of response, support, comfort, acknowledgement from our communities, from our friends, from our family, as you might if somebody, we actually had a human friend that was passing, and so, or older, or becoming more frail. And so I just also want to say that you can't necessarily look out to the world, society, to validate your grief, that this being is important to you, but you can know that you're going to have to maybe really think a little bit more specifically about how to get social support in ways that you might not with a human being, because it's not as recognized a loss.
Yeah, and thank you for saying that, because that's such a really important thing to think about. You know, one thing I learned, having just gotten a new puppy, that when I was talking to different pet insurances, that pet insurance companies actually start thinking of a dog, no matter what the breed, at age 7 as being a senior. And so because they said that's when the expenses start going up, that's when they start needing more care and more visits and more this and more that. And, you know, and 7 years is not a lot, it's not a long time. And so, you know, back to what you're saying is, I keep hearing your words, is that, you know, when they start not walking, you know, not running as fast or not walking as fast, or, you know, you're right, that's when the grieving starts. We're just not even always aware of it. And I think also, too, you know, to your point about that where this is not always socially accepted, that I think in some ways people have to really start to learn to ask for what they need, right? You know, but how do do you have any suggestions? Because sometimes when you're so in the thick of it, it's hard to say, like, this is what I need, or this is what I would help me. Do you have any suggestions for that?
Yeah, I think there's a whole menu of things that I think people that I know have found supportive. For example, one of my good friends, she was losing a dog who was actively dying a couple of months ago, and her wife were accompanying the dog, and they needed to be there 24 hours a day to make sure that she was comfortable, to make sure that they didn't, you know, needed to call the vet, or that the vet, you know, that they didn't need additional things, and making sure that she felt safe and loved. And, you know, I asked my friend, I said, can I help you with anything? And she said, yeah, you know, can you just drop by a meal at the door? We don't want to leave her side. And so I think a lot of us might be reluctant or not even sure we can ask for some of these things, but they're the same kind of things as if we lost a significant anybody in our life, whether they were passing or they were older. And I think we don't often think of that, but the idea is of somebody going to get groceries for you, or of, you know, watching a child if your dog is actually ill or at the end of their life, or even coming and being with you and just sitting vigil with you. If, let's say, you don't have other people, or you're alone, or you don't want to be alone. You know, I haven't experienced this with a dog, but I had a cat, and I remember her dying in my arms, and I was alone, I think, in the house, and I will never forget that. I mean, I thought it was amazing and poignant and sacred at the same time. You know, it was important and significant, and it would have been really nice if somebody who I was close to, an inner circle person, and I recommend not having people that you need to take care of or people that are, you know, have a lot of their own needs, but people that are very good at empathic caregiving and just can follow what you need. But I do think you're setting up your own care the same way you would with a person, is that you need to tend to this being, whether they're aging or whether they're at the end of their life. It's a significant event, and you have the ability to make it as sacred or special or comforting or easy as would be for you. And some people, like, you know, sending someone over to clean your house if you're feeling like you've been focusing on the dog and you just want to feel clean, you want the house to feel clean for both of you. There's so many different ways that, you know, people just checking in with you, asking someone to call you every day and just say, this is really hard, my heart's breaking, could you just check in? I don't know when, but can you just check in and just track me and let me know you're there.
Yeah, no, and I think all that is so important, because we tend to isolate ourselves, and, you know, just speaking for myself or speaking for people that I know, is that, you know, we're afraid to bother people, and, you know, we do need to, you know, because it is a grief, and it's a big grief, especially, you know, you figure you're living with your dog, you know, so you see that dog, you know, I don't know, it might not always be 24 hours a day, you know, if you work outside of the home, but, you know, you see that dog so much, and, you know, your heart is breaking as you go through this, so you do need to ask people, and sometimes too, you know, something I've done for other situations is let people know in advance and say, I may need your help. So I already start having a couple of people. Doesn't always guarantee that they'll be there, and sometimes I've been surprised, Naomi, about who is there and who isn't there. You know, it's always somebody that you never expected is there, and sometimes it's a person that you always thought would be there and isn't there. So it's good if you are able to have a few people. It's really, really helpful.
Absolutely, and I think one of the biggest changes and difficulties of having a dog that dies is how present that presence of unconditional love that most dogs, it's unusual if they don't give this, but most dogs are so wonderful to be around because they give unconditional love.
Yep.
And that is a rare thing often in our life. And so the idea that one day it's there and the next day it's gone is a huge loss. And it's actually often more significant than a human being, because they have rules and regulations. They have their bumps and wounds and imperfections, and they also often love you on their terms. But to have that kind of healing, unconditional love one day and then not have it, or at least not feel the presence of it as much when a dog is aging, is really significant. And so the more that we can bring in other people, not to replace the love the dog gives us, but to be able to accompany us and give us compassion and love, is really important.
Agreed. And I have one last question for you. And this is a tough question. I don't necessarily think there's a wrong or right, but I am curious about your opinion. You know, as I've kind of gotten deeper into the dog world, you know, I've noticed that there's this philosophy, a lot of people want to get a second dog or maybe even a third, you know, because they don't want to have to be alone, you know, when something happens to the dog. They don't want that emptiness in their home or in their life. And, you know, your job is with people. So obviously, if you know your spouse is going to be passing away, it isn't like you say, well, let me go look for a new boyfriend or girlfriend. You know, we don't do that. That would be socially unacceptable. But it is very much acceptable in dog world. And I'm just kind of curious, is that a good thing? Because I would assume you're still grieving, but maybe the grief is you know, I haven't gone through that, because I've never had two dogs at one time. So I'm just kind of curious your thoughts on that. Is that a good way to help prevent the heart from being so totally broken, or does that not really, in your opinion, do you think that doesn't really make a difference?
I think you're right. I think everyone really is so unique. People have to trust their own heart and their motivations for this. I think you and I had this conversation. I don't think it's a bad or a good thing. I think feelings need to be felt. And if you're distracting yourselves with more or better or different, then sometimes that's not as good. But I don't think it's necessarily bad to have another dog to help you see through the loss of one of your dogs. I know ultimately it's important to feel your feelings and to touch into them. And if having another dog still allows you to do that, maybe allows you to grieve in different ways you wouldn't, because you have another dog there that might even be evoking some of your feelings from the other dog, then I think that's fine. I think anything we do to cover up or to try to make feel better without actually going through the grief is probably not healthy. But I don't think necessarily getting a new dog has to be that.
Yeah, yeah. No, what you're saying is, yeah. And like you said, everyone's going to do it differently. And I guess it depends on what your life is like, what your lifestyle is like, and all that, and all that. But it is a very personal decision. And what's right for one person isn't always right for the other. And sometimes I've met people who say, you know what, I don't ever want to go through this again, so I'm never getting another dog. And other people are like, I want a new dog tomorrow. So, you know, everyone's so totally different. So.
And people get dogs for lots of different losses, not just the loss of another dog. Look at the pandemic.
That's right.
The mass fostering of dogs. And now, you know, as we're coming out of part of it, you see a lot of returning of dogs. Like, you could say that's bad. We probably would want those people to have forever, those little dogs to have forever homes. But at the same time, people reach out for unconditional love for lots of different things, and I don't necessarily think it's always bad.
Yeah. Well, this has been a really, really powerful interview, and I'm just taking it all in and absorbing, and I just thank you for sharing your brilliance with us, Naomi. And if you're just to again thank Naomi Sachs, palliative care chaplain over at one of the top hospitals in San Francisco, and I appreciate you being here because our dogs are important to us, and they in many cases they become our whole lives, depending on different people and situations, but we love them and they love us. So thank you for being here, and thank you for your time.
Oh, you're welcome. My pleasure.